Welcome to the Faith Life Fellowship Podcast with Dr. Scott Forrest. In today's message, Dr. Forrest presents his teaching, The Importance of Vision.
Well, this morning I want to talk to you about the importance of vision. The importance of vision. And to begin with, I want to look at Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18. This will be our launch point. I'll be reading in the English Standard Version. Amen. The Bible says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Amen. You know, Old Testament scriptures, when they say the law, you can substitute the word of God. So you could read that like this. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the word of God. Amen. So when people don't embrace their God-given vision, their calling in life, they have no reason to live right. They don't live their lives according to the word of God. They cast off restraint and they do whatever they want to do. They either live a life of self-indulgence, doing whatever they want to do, or they latch on to causes, some of them righteous, some of them not. And in doing so, they're seeking the fulfillment of a sense of purpose, and they don't even realize it was God who put it in there in the first place. So they end up having limited impact in whatever cause they promote, even if it's righteous, because they have no real relationship with God. You see, to fulfill your purpose, you have to know the one who gave you that purpose. Because he's the only one that can lead you and guide you into the fulfillment of that purpose. For example, people who are passionate about preserving the environment and caring for the animal kingdom, but they don't know God. Romans 1:25 says that ultimately, they will end up worshiping the creation more than the Creator. And so they end up with warped priorities, like they want to save the whales because they care about life, but they have no problem with all the slaughtering of human babies that's going on inside the womb. They got no problem with that. Let me give you a personal example. Now, mine is not an example of someone who was driven by a cause or someone who was into that sort of thing, but mine is someone who was struggling with self-indulgence. I think we've all been there. So except for a brief phase where I experimented with alcohol, for the most part, when I was a young man, I disciplined myself and I steered clear of drugs and alcohol. Why? Well, because I had a dream. I had a vision. I wanted to fly airplanes for the military. I wanted to be an astronaut. And I knew instinctively if I went down that road, if I indulged myself with drugs and alcohol and other risky behavior, it would endanger my chances of ever realizing those dreams. So I had a reason to live right because I had a dream, because I had a vision. You see where I'm going with this? Without a vision, there's no reason for people to straighten up and fly right or to live their lives according to the Word of God. That's why there's so many people out there who wander through life aimless and drifting. At some level, they know they have a purpose here on earth. But until they find God and embrace their calling, their vision, their purpose in life, they won't be able to realize what it is they're really supposed to do with their life. They'll just continue to drift, doing whatever they want to do, following their own plan, instead of God's plan for their life. ever wonder why some of your nominal Christian friends or your unbelieving friends pretty much plan their lives around what seems right to them, or by what they want to do, when they want to do it, and where and how they want to do it? And it seems like it never catches up with them. You know what I'm saying? They just live life willy-nilly. And the plan of God for their life is not even a thought in their brain. But it always seems to work out for them. Here's some quotes you might have heard. I'm taking this job in another city because the pay that I'm getting right now is not very good. I'm going to get twice the pay. And oh, by the way, I like that part of the country. Yeah, but did God tell you to take that job? Did God tell you to move to that part of the country? By the way, here's a little nugget for you. Never make a decision in life based on money. Just don't do it. Make the decision based on what the Spirit of God is telling you on the inside. On the other hand, those of us who want to fulfill God's plan for our lives, if we seriously deviate from the plan, all hell, or I should say, all heaven breaks loose, because heaven is trying to get you back on track. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm thinking about Jonah, for example. You know, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh to preach repentance to the Assyrian Empire, but he didn't want to do it. You know the reason he didn't want to do it? Because Assyria was an enemy of Israel. He was racist. He hated Assyrians. So he rebelled and ended up in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. But you know the end of that story. He repented and ended up preaching to Nineveh, and there was a great revival. And most people don't know this. Such a great revival that the destruction of the Assyrian Empire was delayed for another 100 years because of one man's obedience. The truth is, people like us who really do care about pursuing God and His plan for our life, we can't get away with doing our own thing because we're being held to a higher standard. And rightly so. Let me read you a scripture that kind of illustrates this concept. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 15. English Standard Version, James chapter 4, verse 13 through 15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Which is what we were just talking about. Some people just live their own life according to their own whims without a thought of what God wants them to do. We should carefully plan our lives through constant communion with the Father God, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us and correct us when we get off course. I want to read another scripture that really illustrates a real life example in the life of Jesus of this concept. John chapter 7, verse 2 through 6, New King James Version. John chapter 7, verse 2 through 6. Now, this is talking about Jesus. Verse 2 says, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe in him. The Bible shows us that he had four brothers, and at least two sisters. And none of them believed that he was the Messiah. And so they're goading him. Go to Judea and show us what you can do. Show the rest of the world who you are if you're really the Messiah. Then Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready." I like the way the NIV puts it. "Therefore Jesus told them, 'My time is not yet here. For you, any time will do.'" How about what the Amplified says? "So Jesus said to them, 'My time has not yet come, but any time is right for you.'" You see the different standard? People who don't know God, he's not holding them to the same standard that we are being held to. They can do whatever they want because he's not in control of their life. On the other hand, we can't because we're held to a higher standard. We are charged with following his plan to the best of our ability to the letter. Amen. Another scripture that comes to mind is Judges chapter 21, verse 25, New King James Version. Judges 21, 25. It says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. All the people did what was right in their own eyes." And most of the people out there in the world are doing what's right in their own eyes. But Jesus, the example here in John chapter 7, Jesus was acutely aware of the timing and the conduct of each of the steps of his life and ministry. They were precisely coordinated by intimate communion with the Father God. So it might seem like things are going great for those people that plan their lives around their own whims, around their own desires, but it will eventually catch up with them. If they're a nominal believer and they know the Lord at some level, but don't care about the plan of God for their life, it could cost them their destiny. If they're not a believer, it could cost them an eternity without God. So before we move on, let me make something very clear. Just because you encounter resistance in pursuing your calling doesn't mean you've missed God in following his plan. Okay? Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. There's two reasons you might face trouble if you make a turn in your life. Number one, it's the wrong turn and God is trying to get you back on the right path. Number two, it's the right turn and the enemy is trying to stop you from doing what God called you to do. You got to be able to discern the difference. Amen? You all know this story, but you're going to hear it again. There was a great storm. Let me back up. One of the times Jesus told his followers, "Let's get in the boat and let's cross over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee," they encountered a great storm along the way. Amen? And it threatened to sink their boat, but Jesus calmed the storm so they could make it to the other side. You can read that in Luke chapter 8. 22 through 39 when you get the chance. And the reason there was opposition to them crossing to the other side is there was a madman, a demon-possessed man in Gadara that needed to be delivered. And the devil did not want them to bring deliverance to that man. Why? Because his deliverance ended up being the key to unlocking the whole region to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you encounter resistance, it may not be that you've gotten off the right path. It could be that you're doing the right thing. I like what one preacher says. Maybe the reason you don't bump into the devil is because you're both running in the same direction. Food for thought, eh? So you might encounter stormy seas as you follow God's plan for your life, but it doesn't necessarily mean you've missed God. Now, if you've missed it, repent and get back on the right path. But if you know that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you can calm those storms with your words, just like Jesus did. Peace! Be still! I'm going to the other side, amen. You can make it to the other side and advance the gospel of Jesus Christ in your circle of influence, in your world, amen. You know, whether we realize it or not, we each have a calling, a plan for our lives that was ordained of God before the universe existed. 2 Timothy 1:9 in the New King James Version, 2 Timothy 1:9, one of my all-time favorite scriptures because I get to say space and time. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who, that is God, has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Space began when time began. So this is talking about before space and time existed. God knew you. He saw you. He knew your name. He knew the gifts and callings that He had for you. He knew the destiny that He had for you. And He ordained it before the universe was created. That's heavy, but I like it. It's like Doc Brown. Is there some kind of gravitational disturbance? You talking about heavy? You know, Marty! Hallelujah. Isn't that a great movie, Back to the Future? Oh, Lord, let me get back to my message. Finding your vision gives you a reason to live, a reason to follow God. It produces a desire to please the one who made you. The one who set aside a vision for you before time itself existed, before the universe was created. Here's some real quick examples from the scriptures. Abraham. Abraham grew up in Ur of the Chaldees in a culture that worshipped the sun, the moon, the planets, and the stars. His father was a maker of idols. And Jewish tradition believes that he was an astronomer and a very gifted mathematician in the city of Ur for the first 75 years of his life. So unfortunately, for much of his adult life, it appears that he used those skills to promote astrology and the worship of false gods. But when God gave him a vision, when God used the stars in the desert night sky to show him he would be the father of many nations, Abraham had a reason to straighten up and fly right. God even changed his name from Abram, which means exalted father, to Abraham, which means father of many nations. Can you imagine? Everywhere he met, and it was just him and Sarah, and he said, I am Abraham, and they heard, I am the father of many nations. They're like, where are they? You know. He had a reason to live right, to want to please the one who made him. As a result, he left Ur the Chaldees and its culture of darkness and became the father of many nations and the father of our faith. And because of Abraham, the Word of God came into the world and Jesus came into the world. Amen. So we owe him a great debt of gratitude. Jacob. Jacob was a swindler, a supplanter, a conniving thief. He stole the birthright and the blessing of his older brother. But when God gave him a vision, the one handed down from his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac, Jacob suddenly had a reason to live right. And God changed his name from Jacob, which means grabber or supplanter, to Israel, which means God prevails. As a result, he was transformed and he became a different man. He began to pursue the God of heaven so he could become the man that God had created him to be. So Jacob pursued his destiny that was set aside by him, by God, and became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. The Apostle Paul, During the time of the early church, Saul was a prideful intellectual, a religious zealot who spent a lot of time persecuting and terrorizing believers in Jesus Christ. But when God knocked him off his horse on the road to Damascus, Saul embraced the vision that God had set aside for him and eventually became the Apostle Paul. When he was given his testimony to King Agrippa, this is one of my favorite lines in all the Bible. He said, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." And as a result, he became the preeminent teacher of the early church and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And we're still reaping the benefits of that today. The revelation of the church was a revelation that was hidden in God for eons of time, and yet God chose to reveal it personally to the Apostle Paul. In fact, if you read the lines correctly and go into the original language, Paul says, "I received this revelation from Jesus directly." In other words, by personal visitation, Jesus came in the flesh and visited Paul and gave him the revelation of the church, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Hallelujah. And he passed it on to us so we would know who we are in Christ and what it is that belongs to us in him, our rights, our privileges, our authority, etc., etc. Amen. So let me wrap it up by saying this. Find your gifts and you'll find your vision. In New Covenant times, the age in which we live, the gifts and talents that God gives unto you should be submitted for use in the body of Christ here in the local church. Whether you realize it or not, you have at least one gift, probably more than one, given to you by God that can be used to benefit the local church body. Amen? Ephesians 4, verse 7 and 8, and then we'll read verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 7 and 8, New King James Version. "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, whenever he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." So you read those two verses and you realize that when Jesus went down into Abraham's bosom, he got all of the people that were under the old covenant and said, "I'm the one you've been believing for. Do you believe me as your Messiah?" And I guarantee you every one of them said, "Yes." He led captivity captive up to heaven. And the first thing he did after that was he loosed the Holy Spirit and gifts into the men and women of the world. Amen. So he gave you a gift. He's got a gift for you, at least one, probably more than one. As I said, that can be used to benefit the local church body. And then verse 11 says, concerning gifts, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." I put that in there because I want you to know that you don't have to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher to have a gift from God. Most likely, you're not called to one of those fivefold ministries, but you are called and you do have a gifting. You know, God wants you to know your gift and he wants you to grow and develop in that gift because as you do, it will drive you towards a purpose. And once you realize what your purpose is, it will ultimately lead you to your vision, the one that God has set aside for you before the universe was created. Amen. All right. The best way for you to fulfill your personal vision is to submit your gifts and talents to the vision of the house, that is the vision of the local church where the Lord has planted you. And if you're faithful to use your gifts and talents to help the pastor and the staff pursue the vision of the house, there will come a day when God can trust you with a vision of your own. For those of you that are already established in ministries, you've already been through this process, so don't let me slight you. You just need to hook up with a local church so you can be built up, recharged, refired, and sent out with the prayers and support of that local church. Do you see what I'm talking about? Kenneth Copeland said, he prophesied that 2021 would be the year of the local church. And I embraced that. I said, that is for us. That is for Faith Life Fellowship. The year of the local church where the gifts explode. You know, I shared this. I'll share it again. I had a vision in October. And in the vision, there was these gifts that suddenly appeared. I was standing in the living room looking at the foyer at the bottom of our stairwell. And right there in front of the door, all of a sudden, gifts appeared in the vision. And these gifts were huge, wrapped gifts, one of them so big that it was bigger than the door. And they were wrapped in white paper, but it looked green from a distance because the white paper was covered with evergreen trees. Evergreens mean everlasting, mean covenant. Okay. And so I went a little closer. Trish was with me in the vision. And I went up and I read that they were addressed to Faith Life Fellowship. I said, even though they were delivered to our home, honey, these gifts were addressed to Faith Life Fellowship. And ever since then, I've been saying to the Lord, be it unto me according to the vision that you showed me. Every kind of gift that I can imagine, I don't want to give you any limits, Lord. Bring us gifts of creativity, gifts of art, gifts of technology, gifts of people, gifts in people, gifts of people with gifts in them. Any form of gift that you have for us here at Faith Life Fellowship, I receive it. Be it unto us, Lord, according to the vision that you gave the pastor of the church. Amen. So I'm looking for this year to be a year that you grow and develop in your gifts in this place. And it helps us build the work that God has destined for this place to be. Amen. Amen. So let me wrap it up, summarize by saying this. Let me reiterate once more the importance of vision. Seek out and grow and develop in the gifts and talents that God has given unto you. Use those gifts and talents to discover your purpose and drive you toward the vision that God has set aside for you. It'll give you a reason to straighten up and fly right. You pardon my aviation phrase there. By the way, I did spend 30 years flying military aircraft, so almost every one of the dreams that I had as a young man were fulfilled. The only one that remains is flying in space. And I told the Lord when I wrote my book back in 2012, I welcome any fulfillment of that dream on this side of eternity or the next. Either way, I know you'll make it special for me. All right, so if you straighten up and fly right, you'll live a life of impact and a life that's well-pleasing to God. One more thing before I wrap this up. It doesn't matter how old you are when it comes to pursuing a God-given vision. Let me say that again. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are when it comes to pursuing and fulfilling a God-given vision. Abraham and Sarah were 75 and 65 when God gave them their amazing vision. Caleb was 85 when he was finally given permission to conquer a mountain full of giants. So just those two examples there show you that you can be 65, 75, or 85, and God can launch you on a brand new faith adventure. I mean that. I was 59 when God called me to come to North Carolina to return to my home state and start a church. I said, are you kidding? That's a job for a 35-year-old. Or maybe stretching it for a 45-year-old. And I couldn't shake it. And the Lord said, I'm not looking at the number of your years. I'm looking for obedience. And that's why we're here. That's why this church was started. Amen. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. So whether you're young or old, don't look at your age. It's just a number. Just be obedient to the heavenly vision that God has given unto you. Amen? Amen.
We hope you enjoyed Dr. Forrest's message.
The Importance of Vision. If you're in the Wilmington area and are looking for a place to worship, come join us on Sunday at 9:45 a.m. for coffee and fellowship and 10:30 for worship and service. If you would like to learn more about us and hear more of Dr. Forrest's teachings, visit our website at gofaithlife.com. Also, visit and like our Facebook page at Faith Life Wilmington.